You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, hey! You just made your day that much better by tuning in to the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. There's no better place to get all of your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, hosted by your girl, Cindy Robinson. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're switching things up from the field to the hardwood. We're talking Pac-12 basketball, specifically breaking down early predictions of the top teams heading into this upcoming season. I'm now joined by Michael Luke of Locked On Wildcats. Michael, how you doing today?
Not too bad, Cindy. How are you doing?
I'm good. I know you're super excited right now because we're talking Pac-12 hoops and this is your jam.
To put it mildly, this is my jam. Yes, I could talk Pac-12 hoops for basically the rest of eternity. That's how I feel about that.
Okay, well then our fans are in for a treat then because you...
Absolutely.
We have our resident Pac-12 expert here.
I'm ready. When we were talking about doing some hoops, I'm like, all right, I'm in on that.
That's what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, well, sure. It is obviously pretty early, like in the season kind of just ended like, what, 2 months ago, March Madness and everything going. Was it 2 months ago? What month were we in? June? Look, I'm over here. Okay, so maybe like two, three months ago.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm a little off. Like, time is a little, you know, relative right now.
Right, for sure.
But there was the final coaches poll, and we can kind of go off of those just to kind of give a little preview into what to expect in Pac-12 hoops going into the 2021-2022 season. Mm-hmm. So, first off, let me make this very clear. If you didn't respect the Pac-12 prior to March Madness, I'm sure you respect them now. Like, you have no choice.
And if you don't, you're just a hater.
Period. Pac-12 actually led all leagues with 5 20-win teams, which, I mean, that's saying a lot, especially for, I think in my opinion, I've always looked at Pac-12 hoops. You know, you have those schools, the power schools that always are in the mix of the names when it comes to USC, UCLA, well, more so UCLA, but USC's in the mix, Oregon and Arizona. Those are the ones that I'm always like, okay, you usually expect good performances from them. But this year, like, it was a little mixture of some different names in there, and there was some quality play and talent that I probably enjoyed this season more than any other season, despite the COVID situations.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And it was weird too, because by the end of the season, it felt like I don't want to say things were back to normal,
yes,
but the NCAA tournament felt more normal. There was a sense of normalcy there because it wasn't like guys were just in and out of the lineup and you're wondering, what the heck do I really expect here? And you saw it, the Pac-12, they didn't have a chance to show it the previous year, Cindy, but they had a chance to show it this past season, and they balled out. Again, you got a team that made it obviously to the Final Four. You had 4 or 5 teams in the Sweet 16. There's really nothing that you can say outside of, you know, they didn't win the national championship to really diminish what the Pac-12 did.
I 100% agree with you. So to get things started, I wanted to kind of go back. Well, I guess, I don't know, depending on how you like to look at the AP polls and the coaches polls and stuff, I'm going to go a little backwards and start with the higher ranked or lower ranked. Lower ranked.
Right.
I don't know which one, because it's like, it's so different in different sports. Sometimes low ranked means, you know, your top 1-2, and then higher ranked means, you know, so I don't know how to say that right now. I don't know why. My mind is all over the place. But we're going to start with Colorado, a team that, again, in football and basketball, they're not necessarily a powerhouse or a team that you expect to do damage in the NCAA tournament, but they did make it, first time making the final coaches poll of for the 2021 season. They were number 23 and then finishing the season out with their record 23-9. So, Michael, what did you take away from Colorado's season?
You know, Colorado's always going to be solid. When Tad Boyle, they're never going to win a national championship, but, you know, at Colorado, I don't think that you expect to win a national championship. I think it's basically, you know, can we be competitive? Can we be a top 25-ish team and maybe make a little bit of noise come March? And that's exactly what they were able to do. And I think that's the part that you've got to be a little, you've got to be happy about if you're a Colorado fan, because you're kind of always in the mix. You don't really matter, but, you know, let's be honest here. I mean, it's kind of like, and this is no slight towards you, because Washington State basketball, Arizona football, hey, if you can just put a winning product out there, we'll deal with the rest. And
facts.
That's kind of, I think that's just kind of what Colorado has right now with a team and a program led by Tad Boyle.
I will say this. I come from an era, and this is, again, dating myself, but it's okay. I don't care. I come from the era of seeing Klay Thompson play, but also seeing him be as good as he is, and we still lost a good amount of games. So that says a lot. I think, if anything, if you're one of those players, you're going in, you just want to compete. You want, even if you're the underdog, you want to show that, you know, you can compete and you do belong in a league, you know, with the UCLA's and Arizona's and USC caliber teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point you made. By the way, did you have any idea when you were walking on campus that Klay Thompson was going to become Klay Thompson?
So I am a year under Klay, and I had no idea about who was the top people until like season kind of got going, you know? And then I was friends with a few of the freshman players on the team, Reggie Moore at the time, Xavier Thames. He ended up transferring, but I was friends with them. So then I got into, you know, the team and like knowing who was what and whatever. So then like figuring out, oh, Klay is Klay. Like, you know, he's projected to go to the NBA and all of this stuff. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, one thing about me is like, I grew up around athletes, so I don't have a like starstruck type of demeanor, but it's cool to be like, oh, I knew him when, you know, and I saw him play at that level, and now seeing him do all the stuff that he's doing, it's amazing, you know.
For sure. So, you know, but it's kind of the same thing with Colorado, though. If you can just put together some winning seasons, I think everybody's going to be kind of okay with that. You know, and I think it's a fairly solid program for everything that entails. Again, this isn't meant to just dump on Colorado.
Right.
But, I mean, we're keeping it real here on Locked On. You know, it's not a premier top 25 program, nor do I think it ever will be.
Okay, that's fair. But they're in the top 25 or 23. They're 23. Yeah. So kudos to them. As far as moving forward into this next season, do you feel like you can see improvement from them in the conference? And, yeah, you know,
I think they're going to take a big step back because you lose McKinley Wright. That's your point guard, obviously. But Colorado really hasn't ever been crummy under Boyle, with the exception of a year or two. So I expect them to cobble together something decent. But I do look for them to take a step back just because they lost their best player and probably their best player of the last 5, 6, 7 years. That's, you know, that's something that's very difficult to, you know, sustain.
Yeah, that's the tough part about college. You know, the time is limited for sure.
Bro, no doubt. I mean, that's very well put right there for sure. And you know what? I mean, some people got kind of the COVID year back. He decided he didn't want that one. And you know what? I can't really blame him because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm about making money just like anybody else is. And he was looking to make that cash. So I do look for them to take a step back, though, for sure.
All right. Well, coming up next, we are going to preview the other four teams that were, you know, in the NCAA tournament and making some noise in the Pac-12. Having some car issues? Need some help? Need a new part? Well, rockauto.com is the place for you. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so now moving towards, you know, the Pacific Northwest area, Oregon State, I want to say they were the Cinderella team of the Pac-12. They were the darlings. We were rooting for them like no other. They advanced to the Elite Eight and first time since 1982. That is huge. But they finished in that final coaches poll at number 20, and their season record was 2013. Pac-12 tournament winners. First ever, like, just an overall amazing season and something to be proud of for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was stunned. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke and pretend that I thought that one was coming. But you know what was crazy about it, Cindy, is that you kept waiting for Oregon State to lose. And not only were they not losing, they were smoking teams. I mean, yes. These teams didn't want anything to do with Oregon State at the end. And I did not see that one coming. I've always kind of liked Wayne Tinkle. I think he's a good coach. He's an interesting looking guy, but he's a, you know, he's a great coach. And they just set fire at the right time. Now it's going to be fascinating to see what they can do, how they can build on it. You lose a guy in an Ethan Thompson, who's obviously one of probably your best player at the end of the day. And it's a little bit like Colorado in that you don't really know exactly how you're going to make up for that. But you do kind of look and say to yourself, man, you know what? I mean, is this sustainable? And with Colorado, kind of like with Colorado, I think that Oregon State is going to have some peaks and valleys. But I still look at them and being solid because I think they have a pretty good blueprint in play right there. And that was just one of the most unforeseen things that I've seen, honestly, Cindy, in a long time with that march that they did this past March.
Coming from the school that I come from, Washington State, I'm so used to rooting for underdogs. And I feel like that has just become my thing over the course of years. Like, I'm always rooting for the underdogs. So watching the tournament this year and just seeing how each round they kept advancing, I was like, wow, like, how amazing would this be if they went all the way? Granted, that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, right? Like, we just never know who's going to come up with those upsets, who's going to just shock the world. And I feel like not only is it great for those players who have worked so hard and, you know, a lot of the time are put down and overlooked or whatever the case may be, but it's great for the fans to just watch and enjoy and see that journey.
Yeah, because you're living it, because you don't, I mean, nobody looked at it and said, oh, remember when I thought that Oregon State was going to make the Final Four, the Elite Eight? Nobody
thought
that.
Right, right.
Everybody's just kind of a fan at that point. And I think that's the part that's a little unique, is that you just kind of are a fan at that point. And honestly, like, again, I don't see that being replicated. I think the three teams we're about to talk about have a little bit of more sustainability. But Oregon State was a really, really fun story, Cindy. It really was.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, thoroughly. Now, the next team we're going to talk about, their rivals, Oregon Ducks. You know, I have a little animosity towards Oregon Ducks.
Why is that?
It's more from my days of running. You know, it was one of those, like, an envious kind of bitter moment. And I hate to admit that. I'm not, like, jealous of them. But it was one of those, like, how are you guys doing it? Like, all of a sudden, their teams would, like, their athletes would just get better and better. And they just would dominate. And you're just like, how? Like, 2 months ago, I was beating you in a race, and now all of a sudden, I cannot even keep up with you. What is going on? Mind you, I wasn't getting worse. They were just getting that much better.
Right, for sure. And, you know, that's the story of their basketball program. You can always count on, you know what, they're going to struggle early on. They're going to have some new players in there. If you're going to get them, you better get them in November and December, because by the time that you hit January, February, March, those guys are generally ready to go.
Right.
And Altman's just a unique coach in that regard, because he has an ability to be able to get guys that, you know what, I'm going to bring in a bunch of fifth year transfers, a bunch of, you know, under the radar guys. And guess what? By the time we hit March, you're not going to want anything to do with us. And you can look at it the last 5-6 years, that's proven itself out. You got a Final Four, an Elite Eight, multiple Sweet 16s. There's no question that over the last 5 or 6 years, that's been the premier program in this conference.
Facts. And they, I mean, again, like you said, they always have players that they're, you know, sending to the draft. Mind you, the one difference that it, and I'm sure fans listening that watch college basketball already know this, watch NBA, getting to the NBA is not easy. Like, that's not a, it's not as like an NFL pipeline where, you know, you're going to have 5 or 10 or whatever the case may be players coming from your school going to the league. Like, the draft is really only, what, 2 rounds. And even so, I feel like that first round is the ones you care about. But even, it's like the first 5-10 players, I don't know, that you really actually see do right. something in that first year that they're a part of their team. So it's just like, with thinking of how hard it is to make the league and knowing, you know, what Oregon has produced and the talent, it is surprising that each year they're still able to rebuild and still be competitive in this conference.
Yeah, and I think, you know, coming up next season, you're going to, I mean, they've retooled again. I believe you've got 6 guys coming in that have combined for about 75 points per game in the last college basketball season. So, Cindy, they're going to be absolutely disgusting. You're probably looking at another top 10 team there. But like we talked about, if you're going to get them, you better get them in January or February, or excuse me, in November and December, because come February, you're not going to want any part of them.
Right.
It's an interesting setup that Dana Altman has there in Oregon, and something that I think is just totally unique to him.
And I mean, that's one thing where it's like, if anyone could ever replicate that, then they've struck gold.
Right, for sure. I mean, if they can do that, then they are good to go. But it takes a very unique coach to be able to make that one happen, because you're a Division I athlete, and when you see, you know, new faces coming in left and right, there's really no continuity. There's no cohesiveness right now.
Right.
So that's something that's difficult to build upon, you know?
It is. I will say this. Something that's harder to deal with is changing coaches every year versus switching players. And I know that's a little weird, because the team dynamic, the players matter more because they're the ones who have to compete with each other. But the coach is typically, if you have the same system under the same coach, I feel like it's typically a little easier because he has a method. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's figured out a formula and it continues to work, so he sticks with it. Versus you always have a new coach coming in and it's trying to figure out what's going to be the identity of the program, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's why I think a lot of coaches just feel far more comfortable in saying, okay, I got my freshman class, they're going to be sophomores, I'll probably lose a couple of them through attrition, but at the end of the day, I know who I'm going to have. Altman, he has no clue who's going to be on his roster next year. Literally none. And I think that's the part that makes it interesting.
He has no clue and probably has no stress about it either.
Yeah, because he knows. He's like, I've been here before. And you know what? He's comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right. I like that, though. Someone who's able to adapt and still come out winning, it shows the quality of coach he is, which is great, because it's not always easy to get a coach that literally can just continue to win in a system where he's constantly getting new players, you know?
And just continuously making it happen, yes, as well. I mean, that's why I don't know that they're the favorite to win the conference this coming year, but I don't know that they're that far off either.
Right. We do know that they'll be in the mix of the top. They finished the final coaches poll at number 17. So, you know, they'll be in the mix of the AP polls for sure. Definitely will be looking for them to make some noise, not only in the Pac-12 conference, but in the NCAA as well.
No doubt.
Yeah. So coming up next, we will be taking it down to California, to those Southern California LA schools. Looking for a protein bar that doesn't taste like a protein bar? Well, Built Bar is the one for you. It has 9 delicious flavors, something for everyone, from coconut to raspberry to chocolate. Literally a little bit of everything. And if you want to try all the flavors, you can get the mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Now, Built Bar isn't only tasty, but it's healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in carbs. So that's 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. You cannot beat that. Best of all, you can head to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order over at builtbar.com. Go ahead and try those flavors. Either choose one that may be your favorite that you already know, like, you know, works for you, or try that mix box, but you will not be disappointed. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Playoffs are happening right now. This is your chance to get into the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code you'll want to use is LOCKEDON. Don't forget it. LOCKEDON for 50% of a welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. Okay, next up, we're talking about my USC Trojans. I was super proud to see them advance to the Elite Eight. First time since 2001, it was like one of those bittersweet moments because you realize like, wow, that was a long time ago. And I'm not realizing that like 2001 doesn't sound so far away when you think about where you were in 2001, but then you realize we're in 2021. Yeah, that was 20 years ago. That's kind of a huge deal.
Right, for sure. And that's what's so crazy about it is just how fast things move like that. And like you said, that's well put. 2001, you're like, wow, that's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Fucking 2 decades ago.
Right. It's like, I know I was young then, but it doesn't feel like it. Like, I remember 2001 or saying 2001. You know, I remember jumping into the 2000s. So it's like crazy we're that far off. But great for USC to return back to, you know, being known as a basketball program. Because they're definitely more, it's all like the way things are in LA. UCLA is the basketball school, USC is the football school. And so now this is a leap for USC to jump back into the mix, you know, being known as like competitors in basketball.
Yeah, and the thing with Andy Enfield that's been interesting is that you always look at it and you say, man, they should be better than they are. They've gotten a lot of talent. You kept a lot of the LA kids in there and they just haven't really been that good. This was kind of their breakout. You know, you made the Elite Eight. Now you end up getting smoked by Gonzaga, but at the end of the day, you know, Gonzaga is one of the 2 best teams in the country. There's no shame in that. You absolutely destroyed Oregon twice this season. So this was kind of that breakthrough year. You're not going to have a guy like Evan Mobley coming back unless you can hire somebody else's dad. But, you know, at the same time though, Cindy, I mean, he's shown that he can get talent. Maybe he can break through now a little bit.
Okay, so, you know, you mentioned Evan Mobley and we all knew he was going, he's gone. That was it. That was going to happen. Isaiah Mobley is the one where it's like you're teeter-tottering on, you don't know what's going to happen there. He's testing his draft stock, you know, or whatever the case may be, but he's kept his eligibility to possibly return for his junior year. If USC, and I don't know, has that decision been changed or made any further?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fascinating to see. I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay.
He's going to test the waters for sure. I would imagine though, and if money isn't a huge thing for him, because, you know, Evan Mobley is about to be a millionaire a bunch of times over, I would probably recommend Isaiah comes back.
Right.
If Isaiah comes back, I mean, he could be the best player in the conference. He's that type of dude.
And see, if you know that that would only raise your draft stock, it's exciting to be like, okay, maybe this would be better. But then you have to consider things like, what if I get injured or whatever? So that is the whole purpose of testing the waters, keeping my eligibility open and seeing like what is going to be the best decision for him going into this next season. But if he returns, yeah, he'll be one of the top players in the conference, if not the top. And then only bettering USC's chances to continue, you know, their advancement into the NCAA tournament.
And that's what I think you're looking at. But USC's an interesting team to figure out because you don't know quite what's ever going to happen because Enfield hasn't been very consistent. So they're a little bit different than Oregon and the team we're about to talk about. But, you know, he certainly showed that he could break through to a certain extent.
Right. What for you, besides the Mobley brothers, is something that USC Trojan fans could look forward to in this upcoming season?
You know, that's a great question. I think you're looking at internal progression from some of these players. Now, you got a bunch of transfers that and a couple of them are coming back. You're hoping a guy like a Max Akinpoglo can be that guy that maybe turns into a little bit of a Benny Boatwright type. He's going to have talent, but Enfield also showed too that he can do things a little bit differently. And I think that's what he's probably going to be aiming for is to be able to have this long zone that he was able to incorporate, because that really was what caused problems for people this last year, Cindy.
Right. Okay, well, I'm excited. I'm always rooting for the Trojans when they're not when they're not facing Washington State. Let's, you know, got to make that clear for people that don't know. I am a Trojan second, okay? It's Washington State Cougars and then the USC Trojans, but it's all love.
You're from Long Beach. Come on. I expect you to have a little bit of USC love. Come on.
I am, but I did go to grad school at USC. So I have those, you know, allegiance is there. It's just that, you know, I have to go with the one that I ran track for more because I spent more time there and dedication and actually competed for, you know. But right. Again, I know a lot of USC people from when I was in school running, and I have friends that went there, competed there. So yeah, there's always been love for USC for sure. Now UCLA, I used to have love for them, but you know, once they became my rivals, I had to like cut it off. But they were finished the best in the final coaches poll of 2021 at number 7. They had the best finish since 2008 Final Four appearance when they had a number 4 ranking. So in the AP polls. So I mean, there's so much to say about UCLA. Like I said, in LA, UCLA is considered the basketball school. Like that is the mecca, you know, and it shows from the talent that they've had come through there. I just did a few episodes a few weeks ago about the basketball talent that the Pac-12 basketball talent that is, you know, competing in the NBA playoffs right now. And that was Drew Holiday, Russell Westbrook, just to name a few.
Yeah, well, and that's what's impressive about it is that even when UCLA stinks, they're still producing top flight talent left and right. There's nothing fluky about it. I've always felt that if you're at UCLA, you should be able to win games. Period. If you can coach at all, you should be able to win games. And I think a little bit of the problem is that they just haven't been that. They haven't been good enough. And I think that now that you have a guy in Mick Cronin, it changes things entirely, because Mick Cronin is a good coach. No matter what you think of UCLA, no matter what you think of anything, Mick Cronin is a really good coach. And that's where I think you look at it and you say to yourself, man, this is something that's probably sustainable here. I mean, they're going to be one of the top 3 or 4 teams preseason in the country this coming year. You return Tiger Campbell. You're going to be bringing in guys like Peyton Watson. You could have back a Johnny Juzang. There's a lot of different players that you could have back there, along with a Jaime Jaquez. This is a loaded team there, Cindy, and I don't think that they're going to be going anywhere as long as Mick Cronin is the coach.
Their performance in the NCAA tournament was great. I'm trying to like remember, because I know that one game. That last minute shot, I can't even fully describe it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, and you know it's just too bad that it's It's just too bad that it happened the way or that it, the way that it did, because with the way they were playing at the end, they had the look of a team that was going to be able to beat anybody, and I think that they could have given Baylor a real run for their money.
Yeah, definitely would have been a great game to watch, but nonetheless, nothing to be ashamed of with how far they made it. Great performances. Great for the Pac-12. I'm so excited to see where the Pac-12, you know, goes next season as far as basketball goes. They had the five teams make the NCAA tournament. Definitely showing that Pac-12 basketball and Pac-12 sports are worth being in the conversation. They are just as competitive as these other conferences. Do not sleep on the Pac-12.
No, not at all. And you know what? Sleep at your own risk, Cindy, because you know what? This is a team that's going to be, this is a conference that's going to be ready for bear this year.
Yes, I'm so excited. It's going to be fun to watch. Definitely fun to cover. Now, I'm not quite sure. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do all that because it's so many games that happen. Basketball is not like football where it's like, oh, just one game a week. And, you know, you got it and you can recap. It's like, we'll figure it out. But we are going to definitely make sure we bring, you know, the best content that we can as far as covering Pac-12 basketball, football, all of that. And, you know, feel free, audience, to message me, message Michael Luke if there's something that you want to hear or want us to talk about when it comes to these teams or, you know, any sport specifically. Just let us know because we are open and we want to provide you guys with the best content.
We're here. We're here to listen to you. So, and you know what? If you want to listen to us, Pac-12 is going to be good this year.
Exactly. If you want some other sports content and sports news, you can head on over to Locked On Today podcast, where you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And you can also follow Locked On Pac-12 and Locked On Wildcats on the Odyssey app. And then you can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. And you can find Michael Luke at Iron Mike Luke.
There you go.
And then Locked On Wildcats as well. But until then, you know, if you're not on Twitter and not catching us, make sure you just catch the next episode and stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.